Did you miss something? You might have. Get pods of your favorite ESPN 1000 shows at ESPNChicagoPodcasts.com.
It's Waddle and Sylvie. Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Somehow the handoff into the arms of Mostert. He's gone. Touchdown, San Francisco. Four-man rush. Rodgers is sacked. Bosa and Buckner. Mostert in the backfield. He gets it. Samuel out in front. Touchdown. Ball is on the ground and recovered by the 49ers. Buckner has the ball. Aaron Rodgers never had it from center. Pass picked. Intercepted by Mosley. Garoppolo's still only thrown six passes. Mostert, left side. Another first down carry and more. How about a touchdown? Aired out downfield and picked. Richard Sherman gets his fourth in his postseason career and ends this game.
Why not? Yeah, they're 8-8, the Bears, and yeah, our quarterback has never been as good as even a 36-year-old Aaron Rodgers. We're on our couch, and they're playing in the NFC Championship game, but man, that's 60 minutes of fun right there. We have to face the situation that we're in right now, and that is being on the couch in the middle of winter with our team stinking. So what's the best scenario that could happen on that Sunday? Is a boat race from the 49ers over the Packers.
Shrink into that kind of mode of pettiness. And,
yes.
You know, get your Aaron Rodgers voodoo doll out and start hitting it with safety pins.
Right. Teach your sons
at
a young age.
Make yourself feel better because of the demise of the unfortunate occurrences affecting negatively the team from up north.
That was one of the surprise topics today. I think Waddle was most surprised by the topic, and we had full phone lines on it earlier. I tweeted out a poll question. Many Bears fans are fighting with Packers fans. A lot of Packer fans are taking exception to us having a good time with the Packers losing, and then name calling ensues, and then when one side calls names, the other does.
Hey, don't make me get down from this deer stand. Don't make me do it. Don't make me get down from this deer stand.
Bears fans, do you take great joy in the Packers getting their ass kicked in the NFC Championship game? Parentheses, even though the Bears are 8-8 and massively underachieved. We've had over 5,000 votes on the Toyota Twitter poll. How do you believe the voting is going?
99% say hell effing yes.
No, not even close. It's not even close to 99%.
94%.
Not even in the 90s at all.
72%.
No, it's higher than that.
You have too many Packers followers on your Twitter.
Listen, I'm not telling you you shouldn't have, you know, had yourself a good little chuckle or a giggle at their expense. I must have just been married to my money at that time because I didn't care who the opponent was. I just had an interest in the 49ers, and I is kind of what I expected.
You know, you're not a rivalry partaker, though. Do you know what I mean? You don't ever get a rise out of one of your rivals losing. I've never seen you in the time that I've known you.
I mean, I understood and I was very aware of the Bears-Packers rivalry. But you're right. Like, I don't know why. Maybe I'm just a wuss.
I know why.
But I have always had a really healthy respect for during the Favre years and then the Rodgers years. No, I know. But it's like I like respect good, really good football. And unfortunately, it's been happening way too often north of the border here.
What were you saying, Mellor?
His childhood hero was Pete Rose. He roots for his money. That's how it goes.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. Right, he had a bet on the line, and he could not partake in any sort of
who were the Reds rivals growing up? I mean, I can't even remember because the divisions were different, and I don't even know who the Reds were.
Well, how don't you remember
with.
Who your
I don't,
rivals
I don't know
were.
Because I, mean, I didn't have hate in me growing up. I have it now after working with you for 14 years.
You still
but
don't
I didn't
hate.
Have hate in my heart.
Do you hate any team or dislike?
No,
do you dislike, like, you're a Boston College guy? You don't dislike Notre Dame. You couldn't care less.
I don't. I don't know why. Does that make me weird?
No, I mean, you played, so you're different than
us. I know,
us.
But there are other guys that played that hate different teams. Maybe they got, like, I don't feel, like, I go back in time, I was never really cheap-shotted by, except for the Lions every now and again, but. I don't know. I don't have this inherent
hate. Thomas Everett and the Bucks. Do you hate them?
No, I don't hate him.
Didn't he bite you? Well, who's the one who bit you?
Nobody. I was doing the biting.
Oh, that's right.
Who's Boston College's rival?
Notre Dame.
I don't even know. They don't. I mean, listen, that would be like.
You even went to school with no rival.
I mean,
how do you not know your own team's rival?
We didn't. I mean, we played in the Big East. Who did we play? We played Rutgers. We played Temple. We played Syracuse. We played Penn State. I mean, I could pretend we were rivals with Penn State, but they beat our ass all the time.
I think we found something out. Tom Waddle is a man without a rival.
Without a rivalry. I mean, I have plenty of rivals, but I don't have like a deeply embedded rivalry.
See, I grew up at the height of Bears Packers as far as the cheap shot stuff. Like, I was in junior high and high school when it was Ditka and Forrest Gregg, and guys were taking cheap shots on Suey and Peyton, and then, of course, McMahon. And then, like, we dominated that rivalry, and as soon as you thought we were always going to beat the Packers, along comes Brett Favre, then we can never beat the Packers again.
Maybe
and
when I was growing up, it was Cincinnati and Cleveland. Maybe Cleveland, we had a little rivalry with them. But I feel like I missed out on all of this as a kid now.
See, and I grew up with Hawks and Red Wings. I grew up with Bulls and Pistons and Bulls and Knicks, Cubs and Mets.
I didn't have a professional baseball team.
This is my
basketball team.
This is my childhood. This is my high school years. When your formidable years, when you grow up as a fan and you do have as much hate in your heart as you do love for your own team. Hated the New York Mets. Hated the Green Bay Packers. Hated the Detroit teams and the Knicks.
I think that's unhealthy.
I know.
I mean, the look on your face right now, like your face is red and your veins are bulging. Look, I didn't have a professional basketball team growing up. I didn't have any hockey. It was the Reds and the Bengals, basically, is what we had.
Think about it then, too. The Packers are our rival. And everyone's teaching me, okay, we're Bears fans. You know what we do here? We run the football. We play defense and we run the football. We're going to beat the Packers' ass. And then the next thing you know, we've never had a quarterback. And they're like, okay, now we trade for Brett Favre to Atlanta, former second-round pick. And look, he becomes the guy with the longest streak of consecutive games played, and he's going to run around and throw touchdowns against us, and we got Dave Wanstead as our coach going for two to try and beat them one time. And we got Steve Walsh and Eric Kramer and Rick Meyer, then Steve Stenstrom, and
you're going to have a stroke.
I'm going to have a stroke. And then, okay, now Favre's just about to go, and Favre's going to really stick it to the Packers fans, and he wants to go to Minnesota, but the Packers don't want him to go to Minnesota, so he goes to the Jets. He unzips his pants.
What?
He sends a picture out to somebody. Then the next thing
what are you talking about?
But that happened when he was a Jet.
Oh,
you don't
really?
Remember?
Yeah.
The
I can confirm that.
Yeah. Okay. Like, as a fan, you remember you file all this away because you dislike. So he's texting dirty pictures out, and you're like, yeah, look at that. Favre's texting. Then the next thing
Meller's trying to find it because, you know, he's just curious.
No, I've seen it.
Then the next thing you know, the Packers get a guy better than Favre.
Listen.
You think that was bad, Sylvie? You think Favre's gone now and he's sending out dirty pictures? And now you think your worst nightmare is over? Now we're going to give the Packers someone even better than
Well,
Favre.
Wait a second. I think after the dirty pictures, didn't he go to Minnesota and throw 50 touchdowns? And then he used to beat your ass as a Viking, too?
1 year,
Okay.
And then we
listen,
ended his career.
I know this. If Coach Ditka heard me talking this way, he'd smack the crap out of me. But I realize the importance of that rivalry. But I don't know.
That's just how I've been conditioned. I've been conditioned.
But also remember, because I my first year was 89. When did free agency become part of the landscape? 91.
Right around there. Yeah, Plan B was going on.
Yeah,
right?
So, I mean, it became more of a transient business. So you were no longer a Bear for life. Unless you were traded.
Well, rivalries are different.
Moved things around. And,
well, and that's the thing. Rivalries are different these days.
And I think for that reason, like, you are more conditioned to feel the rivalry because you grew up in a town before the free agency where you hated the hated the Mets or you hated the Cardinals, and then you hated the Green Bay Packers. Because if you were, when you were a football fan, if you were a Packer, you were a Packer for life. Or you were a Bear, you were a Bear for life.
Minus a few trades. Mongo went there. Jim McMahon went there.
Well, but they all went there, too. I'm talking in the free agency era.
See, the reason I think it is this way is because there are fewer rivalries these days. So my Bulls don't have a rivalry anymore. I mean, is Bulls-Knicks really a rival?
No, I don't think
so. Is Bulls-Pistons really a rivalry?
No.
So what I do have still is Bears-Packers. So when the Packers, even though my team stinks and I don't like our quarterback and the play caller I thought got let it get away from him this year, I'm still going to sit on my couch in the middle of January rooting against the Packers.
You're going to grab a cold beer and hope for a boat race.
Yes. 312-332-3776. Are you more like me where you're just, it still made your day even though our team stunk, or you're like Waddle where you're like, eh, I don't really care. Just get my team good. That is what you gave us.
No, you're right. I did not sit on my couch thinking, all right, we got to ruin the Packers' dream.
Randy's in Wadsworth. You're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Randy?
Hey, guys. Good show. Yeah, I just wanted to say, and I'll start with, I'm a Lions fan, so Waddle for picking on me. And yeah. I am driving through Lake Forest, so you better be careful what you say. But I was at the Hawks game last night because Lions fans, that's all we do in January is don't watch football, we go to hockey games. And the loudest cheer, I mean, this was two national anthems. This was the Hawks scored first, Kane gets 1,000 points. The loudest cheer was San Francisco 27, the Packers 0. It was unbelievable. I mean, it was like my brother had a bigger ice cream cone than me, and he got, tripped on the sidewalk and dropped it. I laughed and clapped about it. It was amazing.
You're telling me that the Packers score got a louder cheer than Patrick Kane's 1,000th point?
Well, they were similar.
Okay.
I mean, it was amazing, though.
That's a bit of a problem in my world.
Oh, my God. It was hard to believe because, like I said, I'm kind of neutral. So I'm just sitting there, and everybody around me is just, like, pointing. And
I get it, but here, this is, like, Randy, this
thanks,
speaks
Randy.
To a bigger issue that I don't want to kind of, like, but if your cheer is louder for somebody else's issue or problem, then one of the great accomplishments you'll ever see for one of your own, I mean...
Packers suck!
I think he was exaggerating. It was a really cool moment with Kane. And then the whole bench got up. And
you're
going
to tell me
the game was still going on.
They got a louder cheer for the Packers being down 27-0. Come on.
If you want to react, 312-332-3776. It's some crowd stuff. I mean, this is fan stuff. This is what we can identify with. Booing Tom Ricketts and Marquee. And I didn't understand that. Waddle didn't either. If you want to get in on that, or rooting against a rival, if you can still have fun with that, even though our team stinks. Plus, we'll get into the whole NFL week. Mark Jean Greco, 15 minutes away. It's all coming up.
Waddle and Sylvie, weekdays, 2 to 6.
Follow on Twitter at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87. ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Robbie Gold joining us.
Robbie, do you just have that feeling inside that locker room that everything's pointed in the right direction? And instead of waiting for something bad to happen, you guys know that something good is going to happen.
Yeah, we have a lot of momentum. Obviously, on any given Sunday, any team can get beat. We've been in tight games and won them. We've been in tight games and lost them. We've been in games where we've won by 35 points. You have to understand that in this league, there's never too high, there's never too low. You just have to make sure that you make the next play. And, I think our guys, as young as we are, and have done a great job of that. And the key pieces that we've added, like Quan Alexander and D Ford, and added them with Sherman and Fred Warner and Nick Boza in the draft. And you got guys like Defoe and Eric Armstead in the front line, leading the charge. These are guys that are changing the perception of our team as what it's been in years past.
That's right. That's Robbie Gould. He was on with us last week, and he's on to the Super Bowl now.
I think we inspired him. He kicked, I want to say, his first 50-plus yard field goal of the season yesterday.
And like we talked about when we had him on, he's been very good since the injury.
Yes.
Well, maybe missed one field goal since he's been back?
I think so, and it was he had an injury and a new group of specialty guys with him. I think he had three or four different snappers. So, I mean, he was. It was just a new experience for him.
Talking about all the playoff games and whether or not you could enjoy the Packers losing, even though the Bears are not that good. 312-332-3776. Our buddy DJ in Kansas City first wanted to talk about his Chiefs. Well, he's a Bears fan, though. But he does live in Kansas City. Hey, DJ.
What's up, guys? How are you?
We're good.
So much to talk about, man. You guys have a ton of interesting topics. I'll be honest, though. A lot of snooze buttons were hit often this morning here in Kansas City. It was a good time yesterday. I will say this. No matter how many tequilas on the rocks with a splash of pineapple you drink, the pain still hurts. RGM's terrible. But, hey, I want to get back to you. There were a few things you said. Sylvie, over at Crosstalk, did you not have to leave because you called 911 on accident?
Yeah, so yeah, during this, you listen as much as anyone I know, which I love, DJ. So in the middle of Crosstalk today, I have an Apple Watch and my phone's in my back pocket. And I think I was leaning on a button in like against the console where the it was and something was depressed where it was calling 911. And so I ended the call. And when you end a call on 911, they start calling you back, wondering if everything's okay. So, yes, I had to step out and make sure that all was good with 911.
I'll tell you, you have a good reason because it was accidental. I've got a funny 911 story for you. I don't know if you remember, I was living in Naperville at the time. Back in the early 2000s, there was this huge bird flu epidemic. People were freaking out about getting the bird flu. And the local police department had said, if you find a dead bird, call the police station. So that we can, you know, identify that bird flu is in the area. Anyways, I was mowing my lawn, came across this bird, a crow, I think, that had died, and my dumbass ended up calling 911.
I got a bird on my lawn.
I was supposed to call the call the police department, right? Well, as soon as I hit 911 and the person answers, I freak out and I hang up. Next thing you know, three squad cars show up at my house. Wondering what the heck's going on, and I had to explain the situation. They looked at me like I was an idiot. Even worse, I asked the officer when he was there if he wouldn't mind picking up the bird because it was gross.
What do we look like, animal? What do they call the people?
I don't know.
The animal service?
So you're not the only guy, but hey, man, a lot of topics to cover. As watching the Kansas City game, I do have to say I've given a lot of, yes, Mahomes is a unicorn. Yes, we missed him. Get over it, I guess.
No,
I can't. But I got to say it. Yeah. That being said, we give a lot of, I have been very hard on Pace, but we hire a lot of good people to be good scouts for us, and somebody else missed the boat on this kid, because this guy's, I mean, he's lights out, and I got to tell you.
DJ, that was part of the explanation, wasn't it? Thanks, DJ, was that he kind of went rogue. This was, you know.
Right, but he did, I guess, entrust a couple of his scouts. He went rogue with his coaches. Like, John Fox had no clue they were drafting a quarterback. I had heard, the article that Weider did in the Tribune that Ragone, who is the quarterback's coach, picked, who was it? Was it Watson as the number one quarterback? And didn't we hear that Dowell Loggins thought none of them
were first-rounders?
That he had a second-round grade on Trubisky? So that's the thing. And when you go rogue and when you trade up, you better be damn right. And I don't care how many other guys got it wrong. I don't care. Every mock draft, they're all wrong. That's what I rip scouts for. That's what I rip the NFL for.
Get it right.
It's Polian who's saying Lamar Jackson should be a wide receiver, or it's the mock drafts who think that Mitch Trubisky is the best one. How can't they be? These are the best of the best. These are the scouts. How could you miss? How could that be so badly missed?
Yeah, I don't know what you were looking at.
Do you guys, it felt like watching yesterday, especially that touchdown run. Like, look, it wasn't like, it was bad tackling, certainly by the Titans, but that run in some ways was emblematic of, I thought, the future of the league. Patrick Mahomes trailing, That touchdown run gives them the lead, and they never look back, and that sends them to, you know, their first Super Bowl appearance. And it feels like, I mean, I know it's living in the moment, but it feels like
changing of the guard.
About to be Patrick Mahomes' league for the next decade.
I know you said that, and it's a good topic, too, for later in the week to get more in-depth on it. But Dan Marino, we all thought it was going to be his league after he goes as a rookie. You know, Aaron Rodgers, now we're talking about, is he overrated? He's only been to one Super Bowl? Where it looked like Waddle said at the time, I don't know if you remember, you said that they would go to like three out of the next five Super Bowls.
Yeah.
It's extreme. Lamar Jackson still resides in the AFC. The Patriots always reload, Meller. I mean, he still isn't even won one yet.
The NFL is a fickle beast, as people like to say. So there are no guarantees.
Al's in Arlington Heights. You're on ESPN 1000. Hey, Al.
Hey, I love Waddle as a Bear, but did he grow up in a bubble? I mean, in Ohio, didn't they have rivalries? I grew up in Chicago. We had rivalries with our high school. We had the Cubs with the Mets in St. Louis. We used to root against the center fielder. Like, who got the better trade? Was Hayward better? But here's the kicker, right? We hate the White Sox, and we're Cubs fans. They're in the same city.
Got a lot of hate in you, Al.
I don't know, Al.
You got a lot of hate in you.
See, I don't endorse that, Al. I don't believe all Cubs fans hate the White Sox. I don't hate the White Sox.
It's fun. It's a rivalry. It's like, I don't hate him, but, you know, it is what it is. And, like, Al has no bad bone in it. He's a saint. I don't know. He's better than
I. I know, Al. Listen, I'm not telling you not to hate your rivals. We had them in high school. St. X, LaSalle, Princeton. I'm sure, I don't even remember who the Reds were in the same division with back in the 70s and 80s.
One of your favorite guys is calling in to yell at you, I believe. Colin in Lockport. Colin, you're on with Waddle.
Waddle, how are you?
What's up?
Well, actually, I've got a Boston College story for you.
Okay.
And I know you like to talk about Marianne's and city sides and how when all the linemen get in fights, you would just go back to the bar and drink up all the drinks off the bar.
It's quality
move. A good buddy of mine from high school went to Boston College. I visited him during his senior year in April, and this was April of 94. So in that previous season in 93, Boston College knocked off number one Notre Dame, and those guys went nuts. Well, one weekend in April, I visit them. We go to Marianne City Sides. We go down to the Common. Everybody's getting loaded. We go back to the quad where everyone's living at about 2 in the morning. And this is back in the VCR days. And what do? They popped in a tape of Boston College versus Notre Dame to watch the whole upset starting at 2 in the morning to like 4 or 5 in the morning, drinking and ingesting whatever they had to watch a tape of that game. So you can't tell me, well, that Boston College doesn't hate Notre Dame or is a big rival with Notre Dame, because every BC guy I ever met hates Notre Dame.
Well, it's a rival, Colin, but listen, when you are constantly dominated, and we're not in the same conference, so how much of from us, it's a rivalry. I don't know how Notre Dame perceives it, and of course it was always an important game when it would happen. I believe that game also occurred when we were in Kansas City, and Chris Zorich and I were watching that game as the David Gordon field goal was going well outside the uprights and then came back in. It looked like it was touched by the Lord. And BC ended up winning.
Did you have a bet with Zorich?
I don't recall. My memory just doesn't allow me to wonder whether or not I had a...
There are some random things that you are great with your memory.
Yeah. But like, we were in a conference where we didn't have any, like, killer rivalries. We just didn't. I don't know what to tell you.
I could tell you about all SIU rivals. How do I know that? And you don't know?
I don't know. I mean, like, we were in the Big East, and that's really kind of all I remember.
Susan Naperville. Hey, Sue.
Hey. First of all, great show. I listen every day. I love
Thank you.
Thank you, Sue.
I feel the same way you do, Sylvie. Watching the Packers go down yesterday and wiping that smug look off Aaron Rodgers' face was priceless. It was priceless. I remember a few years ago when he was commenting about how bored he was playing the Bears because they were, you know, beating us soundly. So yesterday was a great payback.
Yeah, I'm with you, Sue. You got to enjoy it. You got to. You got to, every time your rival loses, no matter how bad you are. I know that. I know my team stinks. I know we still haven't had a quarterback. Gotta love it, though.
How, on a scale of 1 to 10, how brilliant was it?
Like, tell me what a 10 is. Like, what is a 10? The Cubs winning the World Series in 2016? What, like, Michael Jordan winning an NBA Finals? And then a 1 is what? Like, the double doink? So, is that what we're going from 1 to 10 on?
Was there a lot of fist pumping? Or was it because you had money on the game? Or was it because it was the Packers?
Both. It was both. Yeah, and that at halftime, that it was... Like, normally I would be like, boy, this sucks. I was looking forward to a good NFC Championship game. But the way that game went into halftime,
Was it in your heart, or was it because you knew you could get on Twitter and just irritate the hell out of some Packer fans?
It's an all-encompassing...
Okay. Well, I mean, it's just like it's a full experience.
Yes.
You get an opportunity to give a little bit of that heat back.
I didn't believe the Packers were that good this year. I thought that was a 13-3 that wasn't good. I was always saying to myself, how do they keep winning? The Bears never should have gotten beaten by them. And you said you think they're going to be the odds-on favorite in the division. I hope they are, because I'm going to bet against them. I'm not trying to go cap on you, but I do think the Vikings are better, and I sure hope that the Bears can play better. But I do believe that the Packers will not get the breaks they got this year. 332-3776. Mark Gene Greco is back in studio. We'll celebrate some Kane stuff. And he also has a Planes, Trains, and Automobile stories, we're told. It's all coming up in a few minutes.
This is Waddle and Sylvie. Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN _ Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Mark Gene Greco is back from Cabo, and he's brought to you, as always, by Chicago Cud Steakhouse.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's wonderful to be back, boys.
LaSalle on the River, and by the way, Marky, when you were gone, we had Charles Barkley on the show, and he promised the Wednesday of All-Star Week that he's going to join us for a live show at Chicago Cud.
Spectacular.
And we're going to get you details on that as soon as that becomes official.
I'm running over for that.
You should.
All right.
So go see David Flom and Matt Moore. They're going to roll out the red carpet like you're Charles Barkley. That's the way they treat you, like a superstar.
Mm-hmm. Are you ready to do live shots from the United Center for the All-Star game?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah? We're locked in.
Are you?
Yeah.
Are you going to be on the welcoming committee for Coach Q tomorrow?
Oh, absolutely. I can't wait. That place is going to rock. And I was reading on Twitter today, it's like so many people are going, gee, can't wait to give Q a standing ovation and boo Jeremy Colleton. You know, so there's still no affection for the young guy, but what a night last night for Patrick Kane. I mean,
they're hot, too, as a team.
Yeah, 3 points out of the playoffs.
Do you believe in them now?
Look, I don't know. It's still going to be tough to get in. There are so many teams bunched for the last two playoff spots. But and then nobody really expects them to do anything once they do get in the postseason, if they do. But look, just enjoy it now.
Right.
At least they're having a resurgence. They're getting it together, trying to figure out who can play with who.
Didn't we have one of these moments last year about the same time where they were kind of clinging to this 3 or 4 points
and
out?
I think this is more sustained success, though, recently, isn't it? Isn't like they've won 11 out of 15 or something like that. They've won 4 in a row now. They're within 3 points.
The young guys are contributing, you know?
Yes.
And it's not just depending on the core. That Taves saucer pass to Kubalik, that mid-air goal.
Like a baseball pass.
That was sausage pass?
Saucer.
Saucer pass.
Yeah. That's another thing. So, I mean, it was so wonderful to watch.
Waddle, did you see that? He took it from... the puck never hit the ice, and Kubalik hit it like a baseball bat hitting a ball into the goal.
Hockey players have better hand-eye coordination than baseball players.
Yeah,
I mean, you got to hit a round ball with a round bat square, as they used to say. But there's nothing like...
Where did this Kubalik guy come? I know he's a rookie. Where did they
Dominique.
Get...
Dominique. Well, they draft him. You know, he wasn't expected to do that much. I mean... You know, Stan Bowman makes all these transactions, and to the average fan, it looks like they're all interchangeable replacement parts, you know, and you hope a couple of them will click. And they do, you know. John Quinville, you know, Q's nephew. Well, no, they're cousins, I believe.
Okay.
You know, he had some rough games with a bunch of turnovers. He's starting to contribute. And then you had, camp all these guys, but when you have Kane and Taves on the ice, and now Saad's back, so and you have great goaltending and a 1-2 punch, although you won't see Corey Crawford here next year, I don't believe, at all. But it's great to see. And I was watching the Bulls, and
they're now behind by 15. They were down one at the half.
See, that's
the
so classic. It's so classic.
Third period is their...
And this whole thing, this campaign for Zach LaVine as an all-star, I still don't see it. There's
so many... Yeah, we were on the opposite
side. Aren't you? You're in. But there's so many guys like him who are on, or they're in that pool of guys.
Tell him, Waddle. Tell him.
Well, listen, this is not a long-term statement about Zach LaVine. At this point in the season, he's 13th in the league in scoring. And there are only three players in the Eastern Conference that are scoring more per game than Zach.
But there are about three or four other players who are on the cusp of being an all-star whose efficiency ratings are much better. Like, he's firing away. I mean, he's a classic gunner. I get it.
He's shooting 40% from behind the arc. I'm not telling you that he... You know, I think he has earned a spot on the Eastern Conference roster. I'm not making any grand statements other than from the tip of the start of this season to right now, I think he's earned a spot on that roster.
Whether he makes it or not, I'm okay with it. If he gets on, that's great. And the fact that the game is in Chicago, that should weigh in his favor. But once again, Sylvie used to talk about this years ago. Nobody in the NBA respects the Bulls or John Paxson or anybody else or any of the players on the Bulls. So the fact that it's in Chicago when it should carry weight because there's going to be a buzz. You got a local guy playing in the big game. They don't care. That doesn't factor in.
We're going to do this tomorrow on a Would You Rather Tuesday. But I strongly believe that if you said to our listeners, would you rather see Zach LaVine, the Chicago Bull, in the All-Star game in Chicago, or Derrick Rose,
right,
the Piston, but the one from here and was an MVP here, wouldn't this better story and the more people wanting Derrick Rose?
No question about it.
The sentimental
landslide
vote.
Runaway.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And you know what? Trade deadline coming up. Derrick Rose is going to get traded from Detroit.
I saw that,
I think some contenders obviously going to want him. And this guy's off the bench averaging 18 a game. He's reinvented himself. When I watch him play, he doesn't look the same. He's not as explosive, he's not as fluid, he's kind of laboring, and he doesn't get off the ground even with his jump shot. I mean, he can still dunk, obviously.
Yeah.
But it's a whole, like, it's kind of a rougher, more laboring version of Derek, but it's like this yeoman's workman's effort, and he's scoring.
Yeah,
he doesn't look as spectacular doing it, but he is scoring and contributing.
He could be a really good sixth man on a good team to come off and to give you that scoring lift.
Well, talking about the Lakers, because Kyle Kuzma is just not fitting in.
I know. And remember LeBron and him tried that in Cleveland, and it didn't work?
Yes, exactly.
That's when Derek was probably at rock bottom. Like, didn't he get waived by the Cavs?
Yes.
He may have, yeah.
I mean, he got picked up for nothing, I'm pretty sure, right?
Nothing.
So he's making $7 million a year, which any team can handle.
What's your planes, trains, and automobiles?
I didn't get out of Chicago on time. There was a 4.5-hour delay because of the storm last week. I had the option of taking a 9 a.m. and taking the chance or rebooking on a 6 a.m. So I make the wrong decision. I stay on the 9 a.m. So I don't get out of here till 4 or 5 hours late. On the way back, it's Friday. I should have said, I'm just going to stay in Cabo for 2 more days.
Right.
Let the storm blow over. But I'm an idiot. So I go, let's just stay on the flight. We get on the flight. We leave Cabo on time.
Wow.
I'm not going to talk about the carrier, but this was so poorly handled by one of the three big airlines. You can't, do anything about weather, especially a brutal snowstorm. But it's the contingency plan and how you react to it is what I'm upset about. So we're ready to land in Chicago. We're 1,500 feet from the O'Hare runway.
Get out of here.
Wow, they pull up. Sorry, ladies and gentlemen, the storm's too heavy. They just closed the last runway at O'Hare. We have to fly to Detroit.
Oh, boy.
That's the worst announcement you can get.
That's right.
You're right there.
You're 1,000 feet above
And it's your town that you've gotten suspended
Exactly.
Over.
All I had to hear was Detroit. It's like Pavlov's dogs. I go crazy. So we're starting to land in Detroit. We begin our descent. Wow, we pull up again.
No.
Sorry, ladies and gentlemen, we realize
going to Dubuque.
Since this is an international flight, they don't have enough customs people to handle us in Detroit. So we're going to Cleveland. We fly to Cleveland, and we land there because we're out of fuel. We land there, but we're not getting off the plane. Excuse me, ladies and gentlemen. We just realized they don't have enough customs people here in Cleveland either.
No. But you had to land to get fuel.
We're going to Newark, New Jersey.
No!
Yes. We fly to Newark. Okay, it's 1 o'clock in the morning now.
Oh, my God.
We left Cabo at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. So we get through customs, get your bags, and go to the services counter, and we're going to rebook your flights and give you free hotel rooms. So I'm standing,
big deal. Free hotel rooms in Newark.
Wait a minute. Don't they automatically book your flight? Bing, there it is on my phone. So I go to the woman at the counter, and I said, why are we in line? We already have our flights. Oh, yeah, that's right. You're good. I'm like, well, why didn't
you... How long were you in line for?
About 10 minutes, but it's like 230 people in line with four people at the counter. And I'm like, why don't you make an announcement? Other people may have not noticed this. Well, if you want to get a hotel room, you have to stay in line. Well, luckily, we had already booked a room because we didn't trust them. On the airport grounds, boom, we're 5 minutes away.
Were you the Newark Marriott there?
At the DoubleTree Hilton.
Okay.
Right there, 5 minutes away. So we find out later, all the people that stayed in line, it was another hour. It was like 2 a.m. They drove them 20 miles to a Motel 6.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, no way.
Yeah.
What time did you get home Saturday then?
So you get to the hotel like 1:30 now. You get like 2.5 hours of sleep because it's a 6 a.m. flight the next day. Which was delayed an hour till 7 a.m.
No.
We get to Chicago about 9 o'clock in the morning on Saturday.
So you just should have stayed.
Should have stayed for two more days like an idiot.
Yeah, especially when you're in paradise.
But here's the worst thing. And, you know, I've never been a guy to register a complaint, write a letter, an email, or make a phone call, except when Prince died and they took over my Sirius XM channel for 2 months with his music. I am actually going to call the airline and register a complaint. And I just want an explanation because, and this is serious, they, you know, how usually when the pilot will call the flight attendant and say, I'm coming out of the cockpit, so they put the cart to block it. Then he goes to the bathroom, gets something or whatever, goes back in, they move the cart. The door is open to the cockpit. People are in line using the bathroom. The doors are hitting each other. People are sticking their heads in the cockpit asking the captain what's going on. That's absurd.
Dangerous? Were you scared?
I'm like this is totally illegal. Where's the air marshal? What's going on here?
Where's the air marshal?
This is ridiculous. And so, but the coup de grace was the first officer comes out and he's standing there right there in front of me. I'm sitting in the seat right here. And he comes out and he's trying to explain what's going on to people. And he goes, look, it was our call. They said you're going to be the last plane into O'Hare, but it's really slick. You could slide off the runway. I mean, it's your call.
Then we're going to go for it.
The snow's coming down. You can go for it. And he goes, I didn't want to be on the news. And he looks at me.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he goes, wow. I didn't want to be on the news. I'm like, oh.
So you were the reason they didn't try it.
No, well,
yeah.
They tried to blame it on me. But there was no way you could land because the storm.
That's a good story.
The storm didn't let up. But I'm telling you.
If you live long enough and travel enough, you'll have one.
And I love to travel, and it's cool, and it's great. And
that's a lesson to stay in paradise.
Whatever your initial thought is, go the opposite way. Because I made two bad decisions. I had a 50-50 shot.
You didn't weigh in, and I want to do this with you next. On this was really a big story last week for us. And I want your take on it. It's coming up next.
It's Waddle and Sylvie. Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN _ Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
So did you follow the cheating scandal in Major League Baseball?
I did. I sure did.
By the way, you're bleeding.
Am I bleeding? Yeah. Wow, I am.
Well, where is he bleeding?
I don't know.
Is this dry blood? Is this blood from another incident? You know what?
Are you picking scabs?
No, I was shaving my upper arm.
What?
So. You know, I'm a hairy guy.
But on the way home, you do that before you go on vacation, not when you get back.
I did that too.
You got to be smooth as a dolphin at all times. So I shave my face and then you do the forearms. I mean, the upper arms. You know, and then you got to get the back waxed before you go.
Yes, that
is. And then you got the faux abs. You have the fake abs shaved in. You know, you got to be ready for vacation.
I know, but you're bleeding now like you shaved your upper arms when you got back from vacation.
Well, I think that was from this morning.
Okay.
Where I just nicked it.
Do you see Cap got a tattoo, by the way?
Of course. It's all over social media. What'd he get? What'd he get? A little pink ribbon?
Live life to the fullest? Is that what it says? Right?
Vita Loca? Did he get a Rodman tattoo? Did he get a little Mickey Mouse? Oh, my God. That is so weak.
It's his body. It's Let him do what he wants.
Live life all in.
Oh, live life. That's what it is. Live life all in.
Wow. Good thing they spelled everything right. That's pretty lame.
Well, do you have a tattoo? Do you have
a
tattoo?
I want to get one, though.
Do you?
Yeah.
What are you going to have it say?
It's not going to say anything.
No?
I just,
this could be a picture?
I think it's going to be a shark jumping over a Thunderbird logo.
Why? You've thought this out.
Yeah, because those are like two big things for me.
Sharks?
Like sharks, that was my...
Because you jumped the shark a long time ago.
Yes, I sure did.
There it is.
Absolutely correct, Adam. But that used to be my nickname in college.
Oh, Mark the Shark.
And then I have a T-Bird, so I like that car.
You should have Freddie Posilis' face on one of your calves.
Yeah. Or just his pencil mustache. You have that done. But he used to roll his cigarettes up in his T-shirt, so maybe I should just do that. There you go. On your body, have a T-shirt drawn in there, rolled up with cigarettes in it.
No, thanks.
You want to do that?
No.
Do that on your lower back.
What prompted him to get a tattoo?
Yeah, that's what he did. He's a big, you know, he's big on his mottos.
He should have got a tramp stamp. He should have. Like, look at me. Look at my ass. Look at me. Listen to me. Watch me.
The big Cubs logo right there.
Yeah. With a big set of lips on there. Well, no, that would be on the Cubs.
Yeah, that would
manage.
There's the Trubisky side of the body.
That's right.
Pace yourself.
Oh,
Mitch is the guy. Or something like that. You know.
So isn't it great to just keep pounding away at Ryan Pace? It never gets old to rip him for not drafting Patrick Mahomes. But also, you just keep piling on. But, oh, by the way, Raheem Mostert. Remember him?
Yeah, but I know.
I know. Seven other teams cut him. But still,
that's a tough one.
Boom, it's another opportunity to take a shot. It's good.
Well, this is Ryan Pace's worst nightmare, isn't it? Because it's Mahomes, and then it's the team that he traded up with John Lynch.
Yeah, right. And, you know, that's all Jimmy G thing, too.
Yeah, they could have Jimmy G.
In.
All right, but wait, well, what about the baseball stuff, the cheating stuff? This has been, like...
It's truly amazing to me, and when you see the video of Jose Altuve grabbing his shirt, like, don't... And then he categorically denies he was wired. I mean, this has reached a whole new level of cheating and really damaging the reputation of Major League Baseball because of all the technology. I mean, from day one since the 1800s, guys have been stealing signs on base and everything else. But now you have all this sophisticated technology. This is just a blatant... Before it was kind of gamesmanship to steal signs.
I'm with you. I think that you cross the line when you use
technology. This is Watergate.
Yeah.
This is, you know, wiretapping. This is unbelievable. Then Jack McDowell comes out and exposes Tony La Russa from 79.
Yeah, that was weird, wasn't
that? Was weird.
Because he never played for Tony La Russa.
I know, and it was like people coming out of the woodwork going, okay, there's a little hole in the dike. There's spring in the leak. Boom, everybody's all in. Okay, let's just admit everything. And now people are coming out of the woodwork.
Oh, I think they've gone back underground, I think somehow. Because they realize the backlash.
Do you think the players should be penalized?
It's an interesting question.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
If they're wearing wires, I mean, it depends what was really true.
Who came up with the idea? It's got to be management. It's got to be your manager, your coaches, the owner, even.
They say the manager did not come up with this. That this was like...
That Hinch did not.
No, that it was more about Cora and Beltran, wasn't it?
How do you not know that's going on? Seriously.
No, he knew.
Is it like being a college basketball or football coach where you look the other way with all the recruiting violations and you tell your assistants, don't tell me what's going on so I can say I didn't know and not be lying, technically?
Well, how many players could you actually... Because Major League Baseball investigated the concept of having a device that would, you know, shock you or whatever, and they said they found no evidence of that.
Do you believe... Don't you think they don't want it to go there? Because if it goes there, then you've got a bigger controversy now.
I don't know.
They feel like this has already been decided.
I don't think so.
And then now if it gets worse after that, Major League Baseball wants no part of...
I don't...
If there was truly any...
I think once you open that gate, the horse is out. And
well, how about this? If they're talking about robot umpires, have a robot pitcher, and you don't know what's coming. You know, you just program it before the game.
Then you have to have a robot catcher who is trying to catch the ball.
No, you can do a human catcher because he doesn't know what's coming. So that's exciting.
Think about if they investigated it and they found out and then they just denied it. I mean, they would be in... I don't believe that's the case.
Okay, well, maybe not in that conspiracy way, but what if they did the investigation and they didn't go deep enough? They thought they did, but then, okay, they tell you their findings, and oh, by the way, Well, we didn't find out about this buzzing stuff. You guys
well, then
did.
They're then they're going to look incompetent that they didn't do it, or, I mean, I don't think there's any win for them not to have looked into it. I don't think there's any way that they can win that.
You
that
believe
situation.
Them when they say they don't think that there's any wiring going on.
They're going to have to wire every stadium now to have extra cameras on all the players to make sure they don't have their own cameras and they're wired up. It's just going to get crazy. This is like Tony Romo saying, hey, there's 12 guys on the field and the refs
no
missed it.
Yeah.
And they're like, hey, Romo just said he had 12 guys. Throw that flag. You know, so which means they need the sky.
I am the sky.
Definitely.
Judge.
Do you know what Verducci said? Verducci said that they need to turn off all the cameras in the clubhouse. So do you know how today a lot of the players after an at-bat,
they'll go downstairs
back and they'll look at their last at-bat. Verducci says it's the test. You don't get your notes for the test. He says, I don't care if you're going to look back at your last at-bat. You shouldn't be allowed. And this way, all the devices are off.
I think that's
and
fair.
There's
I do. I think that's a good idea.
You could look at your at-bats when the game's over.
Right.
Just not during a game.
Yeah. Plus, you're in the on-deck circle. You just take notes watching the pitcher, pitching the guy ahead of you.
Old school.
That's all you can do. You got to go old school with it. I totally agree. By the way, speaking of Tony Romo, ESPN's going to offer him $1 trillion to come to Monday Night Football. Can you imagine?
Barkley says he won't take it because he'll work him too hard.
We asked Barkley. We said, would you go to ESPN? He said, no, because they would work you too hard.
No. All you have to say is, I'm not doing any studio stuff. I'm not going to go to Bristol and spend the whole day being on 19 different platforms. I'm just doing Monday Night Football, period. And he has the power to do that now. Then they have to get a really strong, veteran, well-known play-by-play guy to marry with him, because I just think Tessitore and Booger are awful, you know, just awful.
I think change is coming.
And what happened
is obvious.
Sunday Night Football on NBC stole Monday Night Football's fire.
Sunday Night Football
by copying the old Monday Night Football thing, whereas it's a big celebrity primetime event.
And it's on regular television. It is the most watched television show by a large margin every year.
You know, simulcast, do it on ESPN and ABC. I don't mind going on late.
All right. We will see you on Wednesday, right?
Yeah, I guess.
Okay.
I think I'll do the whole
one. Marky's back.
Right,
Shefty was on with Cap today. It was really good stuff. They had some good Bears discussion, Tom Brady discussion as well. And then we've got Lakers at the Celtics coming up at 6:30. The only guest we needed today was Mark.
That girl gave me the finger out.
She did, for what reason?
I don't know.
Did you say you're number one?
She gave me cat claws in the finger.
Thank you to Adam Abdallah and Jeff Miller. For Marky and Waddle, I'm Sylvie. It's ESPN 1000. Have yourself a great Monday night.
That's fun stuff.
Hi, it's Andre Dawson, including myself, Ed Belfour.
Who's getting wild tonight? That's what I'm talking about, baby.
No high from you.
What?
No high from you.
I give him more buys than highs.
Waddle, waddle, waddle. Then he waddled away. Waddle, waddle. Till the very next day. Bum, 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 bum.
And thank you to all a good night.